welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thank you for listening in. I'm your host for today, Susan Branson, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson, again.
Well, Susan, thank you. It's good to be back. I was visiting my brother and his family in Georgia. The weather was lousy, so it's nice to be back here where the weather is lousy. No, spring is coming, I'm sure.
Everybody you meet says, yes, don't you think spring is coming? Although, talking with gardeners and farmers, I haven't found anyone who's ready to plant yet.
Well, I guess one of the people who can tell us what's going on in Story County, at least, our first guest, Leanne Harder, who is with us in the studio today.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to see you again, Leanne. But before you start, we need to tell our listeners what's lined up later in the program. Today, we'll be talking mostly about upcoming events from the Celebrating Singing Choral Festival by the Ames Children's Choir on Friday evening to the March for Our Lives at the Iowa State Capitol on Saturday afternoon.
Well, now I'm sure Leanne will have more events for people to put on their calendars. Leanne, what do you have for Story County Report today?
Well, happy spring from Story County Conservation. They have news that they are opening up select camping sites at both Hickory Grove and Dakins Lake for reservations online through mycountyparks.com. It's been really highly requested so people can plan ahead for camping trips. In the past, you've just had to take a chance, drive out there and see if you had an open spot and then grab it, and maybe go back to work for a couple days. Now you can reserve online. It goes into place on April 1st, so it's right around the corner. Hickory Grove Park, there will be 15 sites in the main campground that you can reserve, and all sites that are primitive will be able to be reserved as well. Then up north of Zeering in Dakins Lake, 13 sites will be available for camping, and that's a mix of sewer and water and electric services. And then, again, all primitive sites you can reserve online. So those are the ones
for
tents.
That's where I'll go. I belong in the primitive sites, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll join you there.
Yeah, I'm a Neanderthal.
But all sites, still, if you're going online to mycountyparks.com or even going out there in person, they're going to be first come, first served. And the public really needs to watch for that site to open. And actually, all campgrounds open April 1st.
Well, now, is Dakins Lake fairly new? Or they said something about using that more because of the Hickory
So Hickory Park? Grove Park is going to be drawn down, and I'll talk about that a lot at my next month's report. Hickory Park Lake, which is south and east of Nevada, is going to be totally drawn down. Camping will still be available, though, but you'll lose the amenity of having a lake to boat on and swim in. So Dakins Lake, which has some great fishing, was really a substantial improvement done by Story County Conservation over the past few years. It's a gem of a park, and they've got wonderful campsites and opportunities up there. So that really is – those people that enjoy camping, Dakins Lake will remain open and have that water resource. And I can provide some more information about Dakins Lake and how much the improvements were at my next time with you, too. But keep watching for April 1st and keep on hoping spring's coming. But Veterans Appreciation Day is coming up Friday, May 18th, so a couple months from now. But we want to get the word out. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's held at the Ames Moose Lodge, which is 644 West 190th Street. So in the corner of 190th and U.S. Highway 69, north of Ames. There's a veterans benefits presentation starting at 10:30 to 11. And not only are veterans invited, but their spouses as well, so they become aware of the benefits available. Live music will be presented from 11 to 1. Lunch is served at noon. Pulled pork sandwiches, baked beans, chips, pop, and water. Haircuts all day. Representatives from Story County Veterans Affairs, then table for the Vietnam books, pins, and certificates, and the VA Medical Center will be there. There's no fee for the event, but you do want to call if you have any questions with Brett McLean or Aaron Rewerts at 515-956-2626. Let me repeat that, 515-956-2626. And then from the Story County Recorder's Office, effective April 2nd of this year, passport execution fee increases from $25 to $35. Stacy Herridge wants to let everyone know that the $10 execution fee increase only applies to U.S. passport applicants using the DS-11 forms, so those first-time applicants over the age of 16, children under 16, and applicants who are reapplying after reporting their previous passport lost or stolen. This is not coming straight from the recorder's office. It's being mandated by the United States Department of State. The price increase is standard regardless of where you apply for the passport. But remember, you can go to the Story County Recorder's Office over in Nevada. It's a one-stop shop. You can get your picture taken. You can apply for your passport. They'll get it submitted for you and then be over and done with and just wait anxiously in the mail for when you need to travel. And then we have some information from Story County Emergency Management. We are kicking off the emergency management or the Story County Hazard Mitigation Plan. We want your opportunity, or we want your thoughts, and this is your opportunity to provide input on what our county's disaster emergency management plan will look like. All Story County communities, school districts, and Iowa State are together in this. It's a comprehensive plan. You can go online to a survey you can take to really help us identify what hazards are out there, what we should be doing to counter those hazards. It's on Story County's website at www.storycountyiowa.gov. And quickly, while I talk about that, I want to plug our website revision. We'll be live probably the next time I'm here. Definitely in April, we'll have a new website, a new light, a new look and feel. So we'd love to hear feedback and how it's working after that goes live. Magical Meowing March. I think in February we had Fabulous Feline February. I'm not very good at these repetitive, I can't remember what that is.
It's alliteration.
Alliteration, yeah. Thank you. I could not think of that word this early. But Magical Meowing March, we're in the midst of it. The $10 adoption fee for cats was extended into March through Story County Animal Shelter. They still have all sizes, color, personalities of cats waiting to find their forever home. So go visit Story County Animal Shelter. It's just west of Nevada as you're coming into Nevada on Lincoln Highway or Old 30, as many of us call it. And then just a reminder, if you live in the county and you're looking at dust control, 2018 dust control applications are coming due April 20th. A permit is required from residents applying any type of chemical suppressant to the road surface. It can get dusty, especially when we haven't had a lot of rain or snow. Please call any of the approved vendors to perform the service, and work with the Story County Secondary Roads Department over in Nevada, too. And then the dreaded property tax reminder. It's coming up. Story County Treasurer Renee Tweet would like to remind Story County property owners the second half of property taxes are due on or before March 31st, so right around the corner. And the penalty of 1.5% will attach April 2nd. You might want to look at the calendar and make sure you plan ahead, because I think March 31st is either on or near the weekend. I think it's a Saturday. So they'll have boxes available for you to place your property taxes. You can pay online, too, at iowatreasures.org, or you can visit them in person. The last announcement I have is that time of the year where we're seeking nominations for Citizen of the Year. It's actually the last week. The deadline's this Friday. The Story County Citizen of the Year Award is given annually to residents of Story County who perform meritorious service above and beyond what is expected of just a citizen. Their efforts demonstrate creativity, vision, leadership, and citizenship, and positively impact the welfare of all citizens in Story County. We're asking if you know anyone who gives back, goes above and beyond, makes Story County a great place to live, work, play, everything, consider nominating for Citizen of the Year. You can go to the Story County website, look under the Board of Supervisors tab, and there's a Citizen of the Year tab. Or, as always, you can call me, Leanne Harder, at 515-382-7247, or email me at lharter, it's L-H-A-R-T-E-R, at storycountyiowa.gov with any questions.
Leanne, you have so much to say so often and cover so much territory. We've talked about passports. We've talked about campsites and the Citizen of the Year, too.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Now, Is this camping reservation online, is that new?
It is. It is. Up until this year, the only way you could get there is if you hightailed it out there with your camper and, or your tent and sent it up. So being able to reserve online, people have been asking for it for years, and I think it's going to be a great service.
So that's the great news from today, this new online registration
right.
for campsites.
Yes.
It's going to be a way to civilize and make things more equitable out there when it comes to campsites. And people can plan ahead and make reservations. That's a great, great.
And I can tell you talk to my kids when you say I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
I always hear that from them as well.
Well, Leanne, it's always a pleasure to have you, and you keep us up to date here on the county. And I have a very – what's the deadline in Citizen of the Year?
This Friday.
Okay. Well, I've got to do a lot of great stuff before Friday.
Do you have any – who have been some of the past Citizens of the Year?
That's a great question. Irv Kloss, Dr. Irv Kloss, Mike Meets. Wally Loney, former mayor of McCallsburg, and George Belitzos, founder and president of YS, or CEO of YSS. We've had this for 2 or 3 years now, and
it's a great idea. Great.
And it's been really well received, and it's just an opportunity for the board of supervisors to publicly recognize those that, just as the description I read, which I have to read because I don't want to leave out those words,
right.
Go above and beyond.
Yes.
If you just tuned in, we've been listening to Leanne Harder, Outreach Coordinator for Story County, covering all the great things happening currently in Story County. Now that spring has arrived, and we'll see her again next time.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce the music that we're going to be playing our next guest come in, because it's Raise the Rafters by Erin O'Neill. And this is from her own CD, but she had a lot of songs on this. And this was played live in this studio. Rick Exner brought her in. She just had time for dinner. She came in. This was during Fun Drive, and we were having special live programs. And it was really a thrill to have this music played live in this studio. So Raise the Rafters.
Well, this is KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host today, together with Susan Franson. I'm Paul Wearson. Really glad to be with you to talk with Sean Stevenson and Chris Johnson about the upcoming Celebrate Singing Choral Festival concert to be held at Gilbert High School Auditorium this Friday, March 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Welcome, Sean and Chris.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Sean, you're operations manager of the Ames Children's Choirs, and you might talk a little bit about the history of this and all the stuff that's going on with the concert.
Well, the Celebrate Singing Choral Festival was born out of another festival that we offer called the Midwest Children's Choir Festival. And that festival began in 1996 for selected singers from the state of Iowa. And that's held in alternate years to the Celebrate Singing Choral Festival. But we had music teachers who were expressing an interest in having a festival experience for their entire choir, not just select singers. And so in 2008, we created the Celebrate Singing Choral Festival, and that provides the opportunity for school and community choirs to hear and perform for one another, as well as work with a guest conductor, which just happens to be Chris Johnson this year.
Yeah, Chris here. Full disclosure, Chris and I are good friends. I'm an inveterate attender of Roland Story concerts and choral events. And also, Chris Johnson, very often a guest performer at the Ames Bandshell concerts in the summer.
Yes.
And I sometimes sub for the MC there. So there are times when Chris and I find ourselves on stage together. Now, Chris, you are teaching both at Roland Story.
Sure.
And at Gilbert. How does that work for you?
Pretty well most days.
Are you at Gilbert in the mornings? Or?
Yeah, my schedule works out so that I'm in Gilbert in the mornings and then Roland Store in the afternoon. And both districts have been very gracious to me. They've worked the schedules where it's amicable and I can get to both places and just have a lot of fun with those students at the middle schools. They are great. And as you know, in Roland Story, very talented up there. I've been there for 17 years there and now.
Have you been there 17 years?
17?
You don't look old enough for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, I've seen the concerts performed. And also they do musicals. They did Beauty and the Beast. And this we're talking about middle school here. Mm-hmm. And so it's very demanding. What I like about the concerts Chris has is the wide variety of music and the origins of it, all the countries it comes from. When you open up the program, not only do you have the selections to be performed, but Chris and the kids have talked about the various backgrounds of each piece. And
yeah, we think it's important to have those program notes for our audience so that they know what it is they're listening to and what the importance of those pieces are.
And, you know, I can't believe the challenging music. A lot of what I hear at the middle school level here in this area, and I'm assuming Gilbert's the same.
Gilbert is the
same. Is really challenging things that only high school people used to do. It really has come up, you know.
We've tried to raise the bar in terms of what we expect middle school students to be able to do. It used to be that we had no expectations for middle school, middle school choir specifically. And that's almost universal. And what you've found in the last 10, 20 years is people saying, you know what, these students are more than capable of producing high-quality music and consistently. So let's have the expectation that that's what we do. And so you're seeing conductors take that approach. You're seeing publishers start putting out better material for the middle school level. And so it's just kind of a renaissance of middle school choir.
Well, you see the result at the high school level, you know, at Roland Story, and I'm sure at Gilbert, this would be true of all the schools we're talking about, and I'm going to list them pretty soon, the schools that are participating. You know, you have a great feeder program and a high expectation of being challenged at the high school level because they've had all this background in middle school.
Right.
And I'm just going to read off the schools participating and organizations. Ames Children's Chorale, the Ballard East, Ballard Middle School, Gilbert Intermediate School, Gilbert Middle School, and Nevada Middle School. Now, Sean, did you put this all together or what? Was that you?
Yes, I manage the operations for the Ames Children's Choirs, and so I work with these festivals.
And so you put this all together and coordinate that. Now, how are rehearsals handled? How many have there been done? And are they rehearsing on their own individually, too?
Each choir will perform two pieces of their own. And then the second half of the concert, they'll perform two mass choir pieces with Chris Johnson as the director. And so they'll have a chance to run through their piece the afternoon of the performance. They all meet at Gilbert High School about 3:30 after school, and we'll offer them a snack and a drink, and then they'll head into the auditorium, and each choir will have a chance to just run through their piece and allow the other choirs to hear them at that time as well. And they'll get on stage and work as a mass choir for the two mass choir pieces together. So they will have rehearsed on their own, but they will only come together for that mass choir Friday afternoon prior to the 7:30 concert.
That's going to be quite an afternoon for them, because that's when they have the opportunity to work directly with Chris here and rehearse.
Right.
And also they can hear each other perform,
right,
each choir. That's really fantastic.
And the neat thing about this is one of the few festivals, if not the only one, in Iowa that offers this experience to all singers in a choir.
Now, I think you made a great point earlier when you were talking about select singers. And now this gives everyone the opportunity.
Exactly.
And, you know, if they have that experience at the middle school level, one more motivator to become and stay involved in choral singing into high school, too, because they could look back on this experience. And Susan Franson, my co-host here, we were at Gilbert the other day. We went in to see the principal and said, hey, we want to see the auditorium, because I've been to the gym and all the athletic events we have with Roland Story and Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
So he took us into that marvelous facility, and I can see why you chose that. It seats 660 people, and it's a beautiful state-of-the-art place.
It is.
And I really think that you're probably going to fill that, because my brother was a vocal and instrumental. That was back in the 60s. You had to do vocal and instrumental. And he knew how to build a crowd. He said, every child is tied to nine adults within driving distance. So when you use that formula, you might come dangerously close to filling
it. Well,
that
we
place.
Hope so.
That would be fantastic.
Well, now, what are the things that are going to sing together? There are two selections that are going to sing together. What's that number, Chris?
So the two selections we have, the first one is Sing to Me by Andrea Ramsey. And that is just a gentle, beautiful song. The lyrics are from an American poet talking about, I kind of imagine the poet being on her deathbed and having this small child, maybe her granddaughter, and saying, sing to me of something beautiful. I don't want to think about the weariness of the world anymore. I just want to hear you and your beautiful voice. That's the tenor of that particular song.
Oh, that sounds terrific.
Yes. And then the other one is, how can I keep from singing?
Oh, I know that. How can I keep from singing?
Exactly.
It's like it's a hymn. How can I keep from singing?
Exactly.
In fact, I'll be thinking of that song all day. How can I keep from singing? Why did you have to mention how can I keep from singing? It's going to be fun. And so the other choirs have selected their own retinue. They have one or two selections apiece then, each choir?
Yes, each choir will sing two selections.
And so that'll all be on the program.
Absolutely.
And 7:30 is performance time. Once again, it's at Gilbert High School, 7:30 this Friday. And I really think that they're going to have a lot of fun. The parents, all the folks who elect to come, I'm going to put that on my calendar too, because I think it's just marvelous to hear, number one, the various different schools and conductors. And number two, the mass choir. See, I went to Luther College. And we had the famous conductor, Weston Noble. And now it's Christmas at Luther. But it used to be that the whole student body sang the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And these were people who don't sing, you know, just the average college student. And Weston Noble had the ability to teach them how to sing for that performance.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great music program there, so we didn't even have to hire soloists. We had people in our student body who could do the solo work for the Messiah.
Mm.
And so you had people who otherwise wouldn't do it, who were in this mass choir, And here you have all these choirs together in mass. Mm-hmm. And Chris, it's going to be, I could see that Weston Noble was thrilled to conduct that many voices, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is a joy. It's a joy to be able to stand in front of these students, 170-ish.
Yeah, 175.
And be able to make this kind of great music with them. It's a joy as a guest conductor. And really, it's the easiest job because all the school conductors have done all the hard work. And so now it's just they come and they've brought their product and we just kind of fine-tune it and put it together. But it's a real great honor for me to stand in front of them.
Oh, yes. And, Sean, you must have a lot of satisfaction in your job, too, as coordinator of the choir.
Well, I've just grown to love children's voices.
Yeah.
They're just so angelic, and especially these festival experiences with a mass choir. It's a thrill to hear these voices together.
Oh, it's just going to be fun. And what is it about boys' choirs, that unique quality of the boys' voice that's been valued over the centuries, you know, prior to maturation? Everyone says it's such a unique sound. Is that true, Chris?
Well, there is that purity, if you want to use that word, the clarity that typically is there with the young boys, but, you know, young girls also. And this is not just a boys' choir, but I think with children's voices in general, that kind of angelic, to use that overused adjective there, but that's kind of the appeal of that.
And then you see visually that they're little angels too, right? So that assists in that total experience. And I think it's going to be something to be looked forward to. I just think that, number one, what I've noticed is the participation of boys in vocal music. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really up. That's a credit to you, Chris, and people who do the conducting to make this fun and attractive to boys. Because very often they're a little reticent to try vocal music. Mm-hmm. But you go up to the middle school concert and you've got a lot of boys.
We do have a lot of boys. And I'm blessed to be in two districts that value singing. We've got a lot of good singing in the communities, in those three communities, Gilbert, Story City, and Roland. And that just kind of translates into our school program. And the elementary teachers, for example, Jody Friest at Roland Story, she does a fantastic job with getting those fellas out and encouraging them and setting them up for success when they come to me at the middle school there. And we got the same thing going on at the elementaries and intermediate at Gilbert, between what Ashley Brown does and Michelle over at the intermediate. Excuse me, they're just doing some great work, and I get the reward of that, and then we get to pass it on to our high school compatriots.
Well, I'm picking up from what you're saying that there's a great professional relationship between all of you who are involved in instructing young people. That's good. You work together. And Sean,
absolutely.
Anything else you want to mention today before we're...
Just simply that tickets for anybody who's wondering are available at the door.
Okay, that's
that
good.
That evening.
Well, this has been fun, and I'm really anticipating this event. And I think you're going to fill up that 600-plus auditorium on Friday. That's at 7:30 at Gilbert High School. And this involves choirs from Ames, from Ballard, from Gilbert, Nevada. And a total number of voices, Chris. How many kids?
175.
175 kids? That's a small army. Now, Chris, don't get up there and get drunk with power when you're there you are in front of 176 people, and they're about to go into action. Right. And they're, how can I keep from singing? Mm-hmm. Now you've killed my whole day. And if that comes on the radio, I'll think, there really is a higher power.
Paul, you've lost your boys' choir voice.
I know.
Your voice has changed at least once.
Yeah. It was right after Princess Diana's funeral. I was kicked out of the boys' choir over there in England.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is that this is a celebration of vocal music. And these are all middle school age kids. It's going to be fun. Friday, 7:30 at Gilbert High School. Our guests today have been Chris Johnson, conductor of vocal music for the middle school at Roland Story in Gilbert, and Sean Stevenson, who coordinates all the activities at the Ames Children's Choir. So thank you very much. And Friday night, how can we keep from singing, right?
Amen.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. That was fun.
Well, you make it very easy, Paul.
Well, thank you so much. This has been KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area. And we are waiting to welcome our guest for the second part of the program. But we have a song that was written especially for what they'll be talking about, which is the March for Our Lives. And so we'll have a few minutes.
We may not yet have reached our glory, but I will gladly join the fight. And when our children tell their story, they'll tell the story of tonight. They'll tell the story of tonight. Tonight.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and no one would hear?
Well, let that lonely feeling wash away.
All we see is life.
'Cause maybe there's a reason to believe you'll be okay. But that's when you don't feel strong enough to stand. You can reach out your hand and hold.
Raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away. No matter what they tell you,
someone will come running to take you home.
Raise a glass to all of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us. Telling the story of tonight.
Out of the shadows, the morning is breaking. And
all is new. It's only a matter of time. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found. And when our children tell their story,
you will be found.
They'll tell the story of tonight. No matter what they tell you,
tomorrow there'll be more of us
telling the story of tonight. The story of tonight. This
is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. You just heard from Sean Stevenson and Chris Johnson telling us about the upcoming Celebrate Singing Choral Festival concert to be held in the Gilbert High School Auditorium this Friday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m. The second half of our program deals with another way that young people are making their voices heard, those involved with the March for Our Lives. I was unable to find anyone going to the march in Des Moines or Washington here in Story County. I'm sure there are some, but the main way you find out about it is through online sources. But the Boone News Republican had a front page article about the bus that is going from Boone. And so I was able to get in touch with the organizers for that, and they put me in touch with some students who will be involved in that, and I have a couple of them on the phone right now. Landra Reese and Isabella O'Connor. Let's start with Landra. Where do you go to school?
I was homeschooled and then went to the Boone High School in DMAC, But right now I'm not working because I'm working on a full-time job and an internship.
And where is your internship?
Bolton for governor.
I thought you were a page at the State House.
Yes, I am also a page at the State House.
Okay. What is the job of a page in the State House?
So as pages, we work for all of the senators. And so whatever they need, we help get them. And we just help in, like, committee meetings and help during sessions to get the bills ready and everything like that.
And so you work with several senators or for the whole Senate? You're on call? Or how does that work?
Yeah, basically. So we're here all of the time that they're in session or all of the time that senators are in the Capitol building and in the chamber. And we, do whatever that they need.
And this is a nonpartisan job. Is that right?
Yes. So, like, me going to the March for Our Lives and the page experience are completely different. They're not related on any way.
I didn't realize that you were politically active also, because one of the points of the Unity for the Community, which is the organizing group for the bus coming out of Boone, is that this is nonpartisan, although people talk about this as being politicized.
Well, gun control measures are usually bipartisan, and when you look at the statistics, around 70 to 80% of Americans want the gun control measures that we would be pushing for the March for Our Lives. And so most, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you usually just want people are allowed to have their guns, but they need to get them safely. They need to get them through thorough background checks, and they need to register them. And then once they have them, they need to be safe about them and know where they're at all times, lock them up and just make sure that they're safe. That's really all we're asking for, and most people on both sides of the aisle support that. I, myself, I'm somebody who hunts. I hunt for food. I hunt with friends because it's part of, you know, it's a tradition in Iowa, and it's part of my heritage. But I also understand, you know, if it's an inconvenience for me to, and when I'm buying a new gun, if I have to wait 3 days, that's an inconvenience. But if that's an inconvenience that saves someone from gun violence, then I'm willing to do that. And I think that a lot of gun owners are, and a lot of gun owners know that sensible laws and regulations are fine.
Well, now, Landra, I'm Paul. I'm Susan's co-host on the show.
Hello.
Are you going to be on the bus?
I am not going to be on the bus, actually, because I already had a lot of plans. This Saturday, there are a lot of things going on, and I'm not going to be able to make it. But I'm hoping to be at the marches for as much time as I can.
So are you helping to coordinate that or facilitate that, then?
Gabby Montwoman is doing the coordination of that, and she's doing an amazing job trying to get the news out. I am trying with all of my friends at the high school, just trying to get the news out to everyone who wants to take advantage of it.
And so what kind of turnout do you expect for this? Are you going to fill a bus or what?
To be honest, I'm not completely sure. A lot of the kids that I was talking to kind of shied away from it because they'd never been part of activism before, or they didn't want to be tied down to something that, like, it wasn't their opinion, or they didn't really agree with what was going on. And so I'm not sure. I'm hoping for the best turnout, and I'm hoping that the word can get out and the unity in the community, which is the new organization that's organizing it, can get some word out there and then do more events.
Well, what you're doing is really providing an opportunity for those who want to take advantage of it. And you're probably going to see what people's feelings are and how many people desire to be activists about this when you fill the bus or open it up for people to walk in and drive to Des Moines. So it's going to be interesting to see how many people are motivated by this. And you might be surprised. I'd like to find out later how this goes, you know.
Yeah. I'll let you talk to Isabella. She's a student at Roosevelt, and she helped organize the walkout and call out, and so she can talk about that.
Very good.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, you just like me to cover the walkout and how it came to planning and stuff?
Yes, right. That'd be great.
Okay, so I'm a part of the Theodore Roosevelt High School Feminist Club, and a lot of the members of the Feminist Club felt obligated to do something in the wake of this. And so we decided to plan a walkout slash callout, which means we had kids walk out of school during their study hall periods, they wouldn't miss class, and they came outside, and we had posters with a script to call, and the numbers of Senators Ernst and Grassley, and we had people call. We just taught them. We did it out loud with them. We had performers from a choir group, as well as some slam poets. It was really a lot easier to plan than expected. We just got some permission from our school and publicized it on social media. And another thing that one of my best friends and I planned as part of the Roosevelt Democrats Club, we planned a sign-in. So we had two, like, enormous sheets of paper. One was being sent to the students of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School as a message of support, and the other was being sent to the legislator and sort of like a call to action for them. And we had students and teachers be able to sign their name and put a message if they so desired.
So that was then quite political, because it was organized by the Young Democrats Club. It became political, but that wasn't a problem in your school.
It wasn't necessarily political. It just was organized by some of the leadership of the Roosevelt Democrats Club, because we were just the ones who felt like that. But there was people from both sides of the aisle signing and supporting at least the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School students on their banner.
Well, the reason that I asked that was because I talked at length to people in Unity for the Community, and I learned some things that I thought were quite interesting in Boone, because they actually had support from the school administration in Boone and in Ogden. They advertised the bus in I didn't quite understand what it was. I think she said video, something that is used to announce school events and so forth. And they announced that, and in the school, and the school was very, very positive in their support of this. And they also got support from HRTA. HRTA is providing the buses at no charge. And that was for the students. That was really unity for the community, by the community. And that impressed me a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of unity shown at Roosevelt when we did both the sign-in and the walkout slash call-out. It wasn't partisan-affiliated. It just happened to be organized by people who belong to a certain political party.
At Des Moines Area Community College, DMAC, I spoke with Lisa Kohokele. Lisa is a journalism teacher, and they have an online newspaper at Des Moines Area Community College, and that was kind of an interesting concept. So that was where that was promoted and announced. And the student writer who had put up the article was Edward Kivlahan. Are you familiar with the people over at DMAC?
I'm not. I'm also in part of the planning for the Des Moines March for Our Lives. And they could be a part of that because their name sounds really familiar, but I don't
know. You might mention that. What's happening in Des Moines, the time, and a little bit about what's going to happen when you look at the total event down there. What do you expect to happen?
Well, at 12:30, there is going to be a bunch of tables set up of a bunch of different groups and activism organizations, possibly campaigns and stuff, like Moms Demand Action, the Sandy Hook Promise, and Students for Gun Control, and other groups like that. And there's going to be entertainment. It's like slam poets. We're going to have some break dancers and a couple other performers. And then starting at 2, we're going to have speakers, and they're going to be speaking. There's going to be one who is a former gun owner, people who still own guns, still want to promote gun control and gun safety. There's going to be several students, teachers, and parents speaking as well. And they're going to be from all different communities, all different people from all different backgrounds. And then starting around 3:15 is going to be an actual march, and we're just going to march around the Capitol grounds and do some chants. It's really just to be a sign to our representatives that so many people do want gun control and that they have our full support in creating some legislation that could get some gun control.
And this will be approximately the same time as the big march in Washington, is that right?
Yes.
So it's going to be probably, it'll be interesting to see how many events take place in various states. on or about the same time that the march in Washington occurs. It'll be quite an event. And when you're my age, you realize that it's a kind of refreshing to see the same kind of activism. I come from the era when people were protesting for civil rights and people protesting against the Vietnam War. And students and youth in my era were very active politically. Yeah. And it's nice to see that happening again, okay?
Yeah, taking when planning the walkout, we actually used a lot of the same techniques that the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee did in the 1960s when they were doing it for civil rights. Like, we do peaceful walkouts. We do walkouts that have a message, a clear message. And so we've actually taken a lot from throughout history what has worked, and it tends to be peaceful walkouts in unity and nonpartisan affiliation.
Yeah, these all grow out of the activities of all the student committees and Martin Luther King's marches and all of the activism of the 60s. And
yeah, we looked up to them for sure.
Isn't that interesting that you found that instructive and motivating, because the issues are different, but the dynamics are the same. You know, the youth are coming out and speaking in a unique way since this event at Parkland, and we'll watch that play out. And I think that it was wise to schedule this march on the 24th of March, because some time had to elapse between the event and this.
Planning.
Yeah, it's sustained involvement and motivation for this event on the 24th. One of the folks who will be critical of your efforts are the folks who will say, this will pass, just like Sandy Hook and other things. And so I think the people who planned and worked with this event were wise in scheduling it when they did. So it's going to happen in Iowa, Washington, D.C. We'll see where else it happens, too.
I think it'll happen in every state around the world.
I went online to try to find out what was happening, and they listed over 800 events around the world. And that's also interesting, where around the world, and they had a map with it was simply covered with red dots of places.
Well, you know, that's I didn't know that. You get up every day and you'll learn something. So there are events all over the world, not just here in the United States.
No, and there's something else. I'm glad you brought up the civil rights movement, because it doesn't happen overnight. And when I went online, I found every town for gun safety. And there was the statement that not one more. And when I got to reading, I saw that this iconic statement was delivered by Richard Martinez after his son Christopher was shot at Isla Vista, California on March 28th, 2014. And so this part of this movement has been going on for 4 years. So it's not something that happens overnight. And if you know anything about the history, if you've been watching any old videos or anything about the history of the civil rights movement, it went on, really decades. But the final push was for many years before, you know, the beginnings of victories anywhere. So it's not going to happen overnight.
What you're seeing is, you know, the push for, you know, gun reform and gun responsibility has been occurring for a long time, especially as we see more and more mass shootings and more gun violence. But the thing that is different now, and especially after the shooting in Parkland, is the youth are taking over. And I think that's something, like, we are the ones, people who are under 18 and just turning 18, like, we are the ones who are not only calling right now, but we're also registering to vote. We're also working on campaigns. We're also getting our friends to register to vote. Like, we will make a difference as youth. And a lot of the adults you're seeing who are kind of being critical of students who are, like, walking out and calling out, like, there were a lot of people who were critical of Isabella and the movement at Roosevelt. But, you know, they were saying, oh, well, you guys aren't adults. Like, you guys don't know about legislation. You don't know, like, we do know we're getting educated, we're getting passionate, and, like, we will resist, persist, and vote. And so that's what's going to change things.
Thank you both for being on today. Landra and Isabella, good luck in all your activities on behalf of this program. And we're all just waiting to see what happens throughout the nation on Saturday.
Yes, and could you give any of the websites that the people can just Google to find out where the – by the way, though, there is that bus that's leaving in Boone, the deadline for signing on is 4 o'clock this afternoon. So if anybody has become interested from listening to this.
If you Google March for Our Lives, you can go to marchforourlives.com and then go to the sibling marches. And it has the information on Des Moines and then all of the other communities. There's 823 events that are occurring worldwide. And then if you're on Facebook, you can just search March for Our Lives and then the event will come up. March for Our Lives Des Moines and the event will come up. And then if you're interested in the bus that's going from Boone, Ogden, and Madrid, you can search Unity in the Community and then the event is at the top.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us, and we hope to see you all at the march. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that our country don't feel like a home, and that silence speaks louder than those who condone. If a tweet to you is worth saving, then lift up your voices and put down your phones, for the times, they are a-changing. Come women and men who hashtag me too, and believe me when I say that we believe you, for weak is the man who calls truth fake news. Time's up, our silence we're breaking, and even though Mel Gibson was in Daddy's home too, well, the times, they are a-changing. Come athletes with platforms throughout the land, who by taking a knee are taking a stand, and before you shout out that they should be banned, listen to what they are saying. Perhaps they'd stand up if you reached out your hand. Well, the times, they are a-changing. Come journalists, writers who report the facts, and brandish your pen to fend off his attacks. Look past what he says and look at how he acts. The fire and fury is raging, for his words can hurt, but your words can fight back. New York Times, they aren't a failing. Come leaders who bully like internet trolls, we'll curse you with four-letter words, love and hope, for we will go high even when you go low. The order is rearranging, for you have the power, but we have the vote. The times
are
changing.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host, Susan Franz, and together with my co-host, Paul Wearson, thank you for listening. Other voices you heard were Leanne Harder, Sean Stevenson, Chris Johnson, Landra Reese, and Isabella O'Connor. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Remember, you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org.
Today's show was engineered by Jackie Norman. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris. That's from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Other music you heard was Raise the Rafters by Erin O'Neill from her own CD. Found Tonight by Lin-Manuel Miranda and Ben Platt, the official version dedicated to the March for Our Lives. And Bob Dylan's 1968 classic, The Times They Are a-Changin', sung on Saturday Night Live by Jimmy Fallon with his own 2018 lyrics.
Production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Let us know what you think. You can call us at 515-292-2878 or email us at khoiradio@gmail.com or go to the contact page of our website. That's at khoifm.org. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll
see you again on the radio.